The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
House prices in Ireland are currently overvalued by between 8 and 10%. That's according to the ESRI in its latest quarterly economic commentary. It leaves a risk of the market experiencing a painful correction, similar to that experienced after the 2007 financial crash. Now, to look into this a bit more, we're joined by Dr. Lorcan Sir, Senior Lecturer at TU Dublin. Lorcan, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Are you surprised at this finding from the ESRI?
No, not really, Pat. I mean, we're looking at this for the last few years. Actually, indeed, from 2017, we can see that the supply of housing has been nowhere near enough to meet, you know, a rapidly expanding population. Like, the population of Ireland is at the moment is nearly 5.4 million, and it hasn't been that in a long time. And it's increasing, you know, like 80,000 people net migration into the country last year, you know, so it's increasing rapidly. So we know that for a long time there has been, you know, not enough housing to meet this. And also we have government schemes then that are doing things like, you know, Help to Buy, that are giving people more money to kind of beat against each other and drive up prices. So it's not really that surprising.
And this is what the banks were doing back in the Celtic Tiger days, giving developers huge amounts of money so they could bid against each other for a particular attractive piece of land. But now the government is giving ordinary people money to bid against themselves in the quest for a home.
Indeed, yeah. So what they're doing is the government is helping people by giving them things like Help to Buy. Like, they're helping people afford what's on offer. It's not making what's on offer any more affordable, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that's keeping the lid on this, I think, Pat, is the central bank's, you know, fairly strict lending limits. You remember, you know, back before the great economic unpleasantness, you could get, I remember my first place that I bought, I got six times my salary. You couldn't get that now.
But also you were getting more than 100% in some cases. Would you like a new car to go with your new house? Would you like to... money for the furniture, the carpets, the curtains and all that.
We all know how that ended. That ended very badly. So the only thing I think that's keeping a lid on this, because government, if you think about it, you know, Help to Buy is designed really to shore up house prices, because the government is terrified that, you know, once prices level off or stop falling, builders won't build, you know. And that's logic enough. If you were a builder, why would you build houses when prices were falling? So government is determined to try and maintain a new house price in particular that will encourage builders to keep building.
But look, there are two things going on here. One is the cost of building materials, the cost of labour on one side, and then affordability on the other side. And what they have to try and find between them is the sweet spot that makes it profitable for developers to actually complete stuff, and the affordability of the couple who want to buy.
Yeah, and the gap between the two is often filled by things like Help to Buy. The other thing that we see happening quite a lot is the amount of people, first-time buyers, who have to go to their parents and get a gift from their parents to buy a house. So I got statistics from the Banking and Payments Federation there last week. Very helpful. Ali Ugar sent me over some statistics. And 36% of first-time buyers in Ireland are getting help from their parents. Now, that's all very well if you have parents who can do that and can give you 20, 30, 40, €1,000 to help you buy your home. But for a lot of people, they don't have parents in that position. So that's also a bit of a barrier. So those people then end up locked out effectively, you know, because it's very hard to pay rent and save for a deposit if you don't have parents who can give you 30 or 40,000 to put down, you know.
Now, what's looming in the new year, we don't know because of the Trump presidency and trying to onshore a lot of activity that's currently scattered around the world, including very much in Ireland, be it pharmaceuticals or tech or, you know, intellectual property that we flog here, there and yon. And many of the people working in the sector are not native Irish. They are from all over the place, and they are currently renting, or some may even have bought, in the Irish market. They tend to be well paid. What happens if they go?
Yeah, what happens if they go? Well, there's two things. One, they'll go and they'll bring their tax that they generate with them. But people kind of think that when immigrants come into Ireland, when I talk about net, you know, migration into Ireland, that it's a lot of people coming from poor countries to kind of leech off the state and all that kind of horrible language. But actually, you know, an awful lot of people who come into Ireland, like you say, are very well paid. They're in the fintech, they're in pharmaceuticals, they're in professional services. And I know from talking to like estate agents, you know, that they see them coming and they're 28 years of age and they have a salary of €200,000, and they're blowing everybody else out of the market who would normally, you know, on average wages, looking for an average house price. So a lot of this, you know, this migration, these people coming in into the highly paid jobs, they're one of the big drivers of house prices. There's kind of five things that affect house prices pattern, yep. and migration is one of them. And another one is demographics. So our population is nearly 5.4 million at the moment. So we're having more babies, and we're, you know, we're there's more of us around the place, which is a great thing. But that again puts pressure on housing demand. You know, there's more people out there looking for homes. The other one, which is a significant one, is wages. And so a 1% rise in wages equals a 3% rise in house prices. This is research from our own central bank and from the Bank of England. So if you think about, you know, getting a 5% pay rise, you know, the CSO were out the other day saying, you know, salaries have gone up by 5% in the last year. You know, that adds a huge amount. That adds something like 30,000 to the average price of a house. And then you have, and wages, of course, are, you know, house prices are one of the biggest drivers of wage demand. So, you know, house prices go up. So people go into the HR department in their company and say, you know, I need more money, which again goes out and helps drive up the price of houses. Supply then is a factor in house prices, moderating house prices for sure, but it's not the big one. And the really big one, Pat, is the ECB interest rates. That's the big driver. Like, you know, house prices are really credit fueled. So if the ECB are looking at the moment at reducing, I think today it was in the news, looking at reducing their interest rates by a quarter of a percent.
Yeah, but
that's another 4,000 onto the average price of a house in Ireland.
Yeah, but they reckon that most people out there now are fixing. So they don't enjoy, if you like, the vagaries of the ECB rate, because it's linked very indirectly to their fixed rate mortgage, because they're locked in maybe for 5, 6, 10 years, whatever it is. The people on trackers, they're the ones who either suffer terribly when rates go up, as they have done in recent years,
but benefit
on days like today when we expect rates to go down. But they're a relatively small component now, aren't they?
Yeah, most people are getting fixed mortgages. But what you have there, apart from the demographics, the migration, the wages, the supply and the interest rates, you have all those kind of forces pushing and pulling against each other. And government really can control very little of them, you know, and the central bank also can control very little. I have a feeling that the central bank next year will come under pressure to lift, you know, for first time buyers, the 4 times your income limit. I have a feeling that next year the central bank will come under pressure to kind of increase that maybe to 4.5 times to allow people to borrow more. Now, that wouldn't be a good idea for house prices, but, you know, to allow more people to access more housing, I suspect they'll come under pressure to do that. But the government, the levers at the government's disposal are quite limited, really, you know.
Yeah. Now, the question of capacity in the sector to build all the houses that every single party looking for re-election or election were promising, you know, the target, we'll be doing 60,000 houses or homes a year by 2030. I mean, is the capacity there to do that?
Well, the metric that you want, Pat, is 2 workers for every new house. So the government have increased their average housing output target to 50,500 from 33,000. That's about another 35,000 workers that would be needed just to cope with that increase in housing output. I don't know where they are. I mean, they're out building data centres and building hotels and all that, but not all those construction skills are transferable. One day you're building, you know, a data centre, and the next day you're building a 3-bed semi in Newbridge. Yeah. Those skills aren't necessarily directly transferable. And the other thing, Pat, that kind of goes under the radar is that we don't really have the water capacity to deliver all these housings, particularly in the greater Dublin area. So that's kind of Meath, Kildare, Wicklow, those kind of Dublin itself. Like, the water isn't, we're already operating at about 99% of our total water capacity in that area. So even if you build the houses, there might be nothing in the taps to come out.
So you're looking at the sequencing of all of this. I mean, we need to get the water from the Shannon to the eastern region. Then we need to maybe simultaneously build the water mains to these areas that need to be serviced for infrastructure. And then, and only then, can you complete the houses. I mean, you might take an act of faith and start building out housing estates on the promise of water to come, but you'd need a pretty hefty guarantee, because otherwise you could be left literally with houses high and literally dry.
And what people forget is that if you're a developer, you have typically borrowed money. And nowadays, money is quite expensive to borrow to build housing. And if you're waiting a year or a year and a half for a water connection or the supply to be, you know, remediated so that they can plug you in as such, I mean, that adds hugely to your expense as a developer, because you're paying back, you know, multi-million euro loan at maybe 7, 8, 9, 10, 11% interest rate. So that's another issue. And of course, the other thing that people kind of goes under the radar is that, for all our housing output, Pat, you know, like Sherry Fitzgerald recently said that, you know, only one in three of all new houses appears in your local estate agent window. I reckon that's a little bit high. I think it's more like 29-30%. So of all, like, the headline figure of 50,500 a year or 33,000 or whatever number you want to pick out of the sky is kind of only half relevant. The most important thing for people looking to buy a house is how much of that housing is actually going to appear on the market. And increasingly, that number has been going down every year. Well, the number has been staying the same, but a proportion has been going down. So it's about 8,500 houses a year since 2017 is what's been coming to the market. Like, the builders know where the sweet spot is in supply, if you know what I mean, Pat. And it's about 8,500 houses. That's the kind of sweet spot between affordability and profitability for them.
All right. Lorcan, sir, senior lecturer in TU Dublin, thank you very much. Well, now, if you are thinking of buying a house, this might help you get into the market.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.